Four, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 6 o'clock pairing. On the tee, from River West, please welcome Gabe Neitzel. Also on the tee, from the third ward, this is Stephen Watson.
It's Monday evening, and you're on the tee, presented by Annex Wealth Management and Fairways of Woodside. Now to take you around the course, live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City, alongside Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Stephen Watson is not here today. I am Gabe Neitzel, but we are joined by a sub that you have heard on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. He is Nolan Murphy. Proud to have you here today, buddy.
What's up, buddy? Thanks for bringing me along.
I'm just disappointed you missed out on Aaron Hills today.
Oh, just devastating. That's just how the schedule gods do it sometimes. Just devastating.
We'll be talking about Aaron Hills a little bit later, but Nolan steps up right away and just books a huge guest. Like, the only reason we are having a potential big guest today on the tee is because Nolan found out that he was doing the show. He's like, hey, do you want me to try to book Max Homa? Of course I want you to try to book Max Homa. So Max Homa is scheduled to join the program at 6:15. So Nolan just comes swooping in from the rafters like Sting in WCW and delivers like probably the only guest we've ever had on this show. Well, it's unbelievable.
You're a wrestling guy. I knew Top Rope. I knew I had to make a statement today. You know, Aaron Rodgers sounds like he made a statement earlier today, and we're going to hopefully have a friend on of Aaron Rodgers and Max.
And talk a little bit about his golf game and where all that stands. So that means we have to kind of shift some things around, and we're going to open the show today with It's All About the Drive.
Sometimes it's all about the drive. But off the tee, it's all about the drive. The best and biggest shots of the weekend.
That house is like 400 yards away.
Is that good?
That's unbelievable.
It's all about the drive. On the tee is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive. We make it easy.
As is often the case with All About the Drive, we start a conversation that involves the guy who drives it the furthest of anybody on the PGA Tour, and that's Bryson DeChambeau. And Bryson is out. He is no longer participating in the Olympics. He has a positive test for COVID-19. John Rahm somehow testing positive for COVID-19 for what seems like the fourth or fifth time at this point. It's a big hit for the Olympic field. It's a limited field to begin with because you have to limit the number of players from each country. Patrick Reed is going to end up replacing Bryson DeChambeau on the American side. I don't think that they're going to replace John Rahm because the Spanish Olympic Committee said that they didn't really have enough time. They couldn't get somebody to replace John Rahm. Plus, like, in the U.S., not to make it seem like it's easy, but it's easy to replace Bryson DeChambeau. There are a lot of Americans lined up after that. In Spain,
it sounds like Jorge Campillo. Did I say that right, Gabe?
Yes.
He is going to replace John Rahm.
Oh, so they did find a replacement.
No one cares. to your point about Bryson DeChambeau, why should we care about golf in the Olympics now without Bryson?
He didn't seem like he was that torn up, the fact that he's going to miss the Olympics. And we already have Rory on record saying that he wasn't super excited to go play in Japan during the Olympics as well, because now they've got to come back. They've got a WGC event. I'm sure some of the top players won't play in that. We see the WGCs, World Golf Championships, specifically designed for players of the top caliber on the PGA Tour. It's just a free money grab. Hey, come play this tournament. There's no cut. We're just going to give you money for showing up. And yet, we constantly see now players opting out of them. I can't imagine the Olympics. You don't get paid to play in the Olympics.
Not at all. If golf wants to continue in the Olympics and for us to care about it and they want to have professionals, they need to compensate them or they need to give them a shot in the Ryder Cup. Say if you win the gold medal, automatic spot. If you're an American or
sure,
you're on the European team, something, Gabe. Or, you know, you get on the President's Cup team. Something that incentivizes you to be in the Olympics because it, I just don't think it matters. They have way too much stuff going on. They were just across the pond for the Open. They got a lot of FedEx Cup championships coming up with a lot of money on the line. It just doesn't, it doesn't pass a smell test for me as an American golf fan.
No, it just doesn't. I would want something. And here's the tricky part, because I want something. I want some variety. Like, it's, if I'm playing, if you and I go out and play, we're not playing 72 holes of stroke play. And we're going to go out, we're going to play a little five, you know, we'll do a 5-5-5. We'll do a $5 Nassau front back total. You know, we'll do a little something
like
that.
You're going to give me a lot of strokes. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we'll have to negotiate those, as always.
Thank you.
But I just want the Olympics, in order for the Olympics to separate themselves and truly help grow golf, I think it needs to do something different. Now, here's the problem with that. The Zurich Classic of New Orleans has this team format, which on Sunday is a lot of fun, but it doesn't separate itself enough. So I'm sitting here going, hey, do something different. Yet the one tournament that does do something different on the PGA Tour doesn't usually get a ton of notoriety.
Yeah, we don't care about it till Sunday. I mean, we, a lot of us, if you're a golf fan this year, you turned it on when you heard that Louis and Charles were in a playoff. And, you know, Louis goes in the water, and all of a sudden, we're done with the Zurich Classic, thank gosh. I had a half-baked idea that I told you before the show. What if they just put the golf part of the Olympics in the Winter Olympics? Now, there'd be a lot of things to figure out. That's why it's a half-baked idea. But that's a part in the season in, you know, January, February, where there's not a lot of marquee golf tournaments going on. You're not in the full Florida swing yet. Could that be a potential solution down the road?
It could be. I mean, I'll tell you what. A lot of the tournaments that happen, we're not going to talk. Maybe this might be the only time I mentioned the 3M Open, which I couldn't even get the name right. I didn't know if it's the 3M Open, the 3M Classic, the 3M Tournament. I just know that 3M sponsors it, and it's up in Minnesota. Like, we're not going to talk about it much, because now with the major season so condensed, it's pretty much the four majors in this four-month span. You sprinkle in a couple of other tournaments. The Memorial is obviously always going to be good because of Jack Nicklaus's presence. But really, the heart of the PGA Tour schedule happens before the Masters at this point.
And then we have the FedEx Cup now jammed down our throat, because we're going to take a week off this week of golf. And then there's just going to be this sprint where they're going to fit in the FedEx Cup, which I, you know, I can't stand the FedEx Cup, how it is. Some years, some guys like it. Some years, people want the money. And then this year, I feel like...
Well, no. Every year, they want the money.
But, like, this year, Brooks, if he doesn't make it to the BMW, he's like, great, I'm going to go get ready for the Ryder Cup, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to tell me that Brooks cares more about the BMW championship than the Ryder Cup? I would be shocked if he would say
no,
that.
I mean, Ryder... Yeah, he's going to care about... What makes the Ryder Cup fun, and again, this is an instance where they're getting some money. They used to not get paid here, and I know Tiger threw a fit back in the day about that because...
He's Tiger.
I mean, he's Tiger. He can do whatever he wants. But at least they get a little bit of something. But this is more, it's about team pride, and you're playing for that Ryder Cup when you talk about that. And it's different format, you know, where you have, and that's what makes it fun, where you're having the match play format, where you're playing with a teammate. I don't know how you can find a way to capture that and transfer it over to the Olympics unless you do some sort of team match play, like bracket style. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, right now, and I appreciate all the work from everyone who wanted to make golf an Olympic sport, it feels like it's too late because you're not getting the buy-in. You're not getting the buy-in from the most important players on the PGA Tour. You're not getting Brooks Koepka to ever play in the Olympics, I don't believe. Dustin Johnson isn't going to be there. For the U.S., you have Colin Morikawa, you have JT, you have Schauffele, and now you have P. Reed, who, I mean, Patrick Reed is always going to fly in anytime he's got a chance to wear red, white, and blue.
I feel like him and Ricky Fowler should just play the Olympics. If it's going to stay like this for the rest of our lives, just send Ricky and Patrick Reed over there and let them love it. You know,
Ricky's 65 years old, still just going out there. He's got the Olympic tattoo.
Exactly. He's like one of those swimmers we saw last night. If I'm Seth Waugh, you know, the CEO of PGA of America, if I'm one of the stakeholders of golf in the Olympics, I am going on a summit this fall or this winter and figuring out, how do we change this? How do we make this more marketable? Maybe, Gabe, just send amateurs. You know, go the old basketball route. But we already have the Walker Cup for that. I mean, it just needs a little bit more
flavor. But this would be a bigger stage. I mean, I feel the Walker Cup has been more prevalent as of late because you have coverage, you know, from first from Fox, now the Golf Channel, since they've absorbed the USGA contract. So you get a little bit more. It gets buried from time to time. But I wouldn't, you know, I don't mind that idea of a bigger stage for some of those amateur players. Maybe that's something that gets me more interested. Because I do enjoy some of the amateur competitions. USAM is always fun when that comes around every fall. But yeah, until you get the buy-in of the biggest names, that's it doesn't matter what the format is. It doesn't matter. You got to get the buy-in from the top players. And that's what... If we're going to have an Olympics conversation, I don't know how much buy-in you have from men's basketball right now. They just lost to France. You had buy-in in 92. You had buy-in in 96, and that novelty has kind of worn itself off a little bit as we've continued, and basketball just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the money gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Same thing in golf. Like, there's so much...
Too much money out there.
So much damn money. I won't say there's too much money.
Too much money for other opportunities.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You know, there's just so much money in golf now that... Traveling to Japan, just to travel to Japan and represent Team USA, as much as you want to be nostalgic in 1950s and 60s about it, like, it's just, there's too much money in sport now that's a thing. And maybe if it continues to go, I know I've heard men, I've heard women talk about this. They didn't grow up dreaming about playing in the Olympics because it wasn't a possibility. So maybe if golf sticks around as an Olympic sport in the next round and the round after that, it's been going on for 16 years. Maybe you have that. Oh, I want to grow up and win a gold medal in golf. But it's never going to top the five majors on the ladies' side. It's never going to top the four majors on the men's side. It's got to find its own niche, and I just don't know where that niche is for Olympic golf.
Yeah, big task ahead. I mean, maybe it is, Gabe, that global, you know, growth. Patrick Ewing was on record saying, you know, the reason kind of Team USA lost to France the other day is because the world caught up. They saw the dream team. So maybe if you have one of those moments where, like, golf's on center stage of the Olympics, there is, like, this next group of golfers. But we already have that. That's why we have, you know, the President's Cup going to other places. That's why the Ryder Cup goes to other places. That's why we have events in Asia. So definitely needs to go back to the drawing board.
And that's always the thing, too, with the Olympics. Now I got to figure out what the time change is.
You expect
me to be looking up the time change for whatever they tee off? I know when they play the British Open, I'm getting coffee golf. I'm going to be waking up. I'm making myself a pot. I'm pouring myself a cup. I am going to enjoy those tee shots. Am I drinking a Red Bull? Am I to just try to stay up at night?
Where
am I drinking coffee?
Where is it on?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably on like CNBC or something. I don't even know if I have CNBC.
I want you to ask Chewy tomorrow from 7 to 9 a.m. how to find the golf for the Olympics and see if he even responds.
I doubt he will. Max Homa is our scheduled guest for today. We'll talk with him about the state of his game plus his friendship with Aaron Rodgers. That's coming up next on The Tee.
Back to the course and On The Tee with Gabe and Steven after this on 94.5 ESPN. You're listening to On The Tee with Gabe Neitzel and Steven Watson on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Annex Wealth Management and Fairways of Woodside.
On The Tee, no Steven Watson today. We have a cousin sub of the day. That is Nolan Murphy. I am Gabe Neitzel. We are excited to be joined by the champion of the Genesis Invitational from earlier this year on the PGA Tour. He is Max Homa. Max, thank you so much for the time. And I know you do some work with X-Golf. We've got a couple of X-Golfs around here in Wisconsin as well. I love everything that they work with and everything they have going on at X-Golf. What about X-Golf made you want to partner up with them?
Yeah, hi. First off, you know, thanks for having me. I'm all about growing the game of golf. I think, you know, most of us out playing professional golf are. I feel like X-Golf provides, you know, another avenue to get into the game, to enjoy the game. And you know, that's kind of something I wanted to partner with. I've gotten to go now, and it's really fun. You know, you could have some adult beverages, you could have some food, and you can get in 18 holes on, you know, your dream golf course. And it's also really accurate, so I feel like it's kind of just good for any level of golf. And I'm stoked to learn about them and then partner with them so we could kind of do some good for the game.
Yeah, it's just such a low-pressure environment because if you're somebody who is new to golf, like, there can be a lot of pressure if you've got somebody waiting on the tee behind you as you're trying to figure out how you're going to hit this 9-iron anywhere near the green. And you don't have to worry about that. You find some friends, you go to X Golf, you have a good time.
Yeah, you don't need to yell four either, so no one will ever know if you had a bad shot. You can kind of just get in and out on your own, on your own schedule. But yeah, no, it's good. And obviously, you know, some areas don't have the best weather all year round, so it's not like you could play golf 12 months a year. But being inside, you obviously can, and I think that's another big bonus.
Max, you're known as one of the good guys on the tour. When you go to X Golf, is your move to bring a couple buddies? Are you going there to practice? What do you usually do when you go to your local X Golf?
No, it's for the buddies. You know, if food and drink and everything can be that close, the practice probably wouldn't be as focused as I would like it to be. So it's more of a bring the buddies for me. You know, have some fun, laugh at some shots, see who can hit the long drive or you can putt in those too. So seeing who can figure out how to gauge the putts. And yeah, it's just for me, it's more of a fun vibe, and it's kind of take my mind off of golf by playing a little bit of fun golf. I don't get to do that a lot.
Talking with Max Homa on the tee, 94.5 ESPN. Max, we were just discussing the Olympics coming up this week. What are your thoughts on the Olympics now having golf as a sport?
Yeah, I think it's great for the excitement for us. I mean, it gives us a new wrinkle every 4 years, trying to qualify for that. It's obviously a big deal. I think it's the pinnacle of athletics. The tradition that comes along with the Olympics is amazing. It's not something I ever envisioned doing as a kid. I'm not, particularly fast, and I definitely can't swim very well. So I never really thought I'd be able to have the opportunity. But now that it's there, it's a really cool goal to have. It's awesome that, the United States, we have four guys going. I think it's exciting for kind of everybody to be able to watch a sport. You know, it's going to be a similar format, but it definitely just going to feel a little bit different being the Olympics. It's not a typical tour event. It's not a typical stop. It's a new golf course. Anytime professional golf is kind of on the main stage, I think it's really cool to just, kind of add exposure to the players and to the sport in general.
Wait, when did you find out you couldn't swim well?
Was there when I tried to swim for like the fifth time, and then my sister got in. My sister's like a fish, and she showed me very quickly that I can swim for survival, but I can't swim for sport.
Well, okay, at least you've got the swim for survival thing going, because I feel like that would be real, real tough being a kid from the West Coast.
Yeah, no, I've got the boogie board. I can get myself in and out of the ocean safely, but I'm not racing anybody out to a buoy or anything. I'm going to keep my... I'm better on land, I found.
Awesome. Max, in a couple of weeks, we have the Ryder Cup right in our backyard, Whistling Straits. It would be awesome to see you get on a little heater here and get yourself in the auto bid. But what would it mean to represent, the U.S. on a Ryder Cup team at any point in your career?
Yeah, I think, as we just spoke about the Olympics, I think it's the opposite in a way, and this is what I've kind of dreamt of doing since I was a kid, watching on TV, knowing that it's obviously an exclusive club of people that have gotten to even represent either the United States or Europe in the Ryder Cup. I've gotten to play on a Walker Cup team, and that fueled it even more, knowing how fun the team environment is, representing your country. It's a big goal of mine. I put myself in a position to at least be able to get on a heater, as you said, to maybe be able to grab one of the bids. That's goal number one, maybe not goal number one, two, and three. So, just really want to keep keep the foot on the gas and see if I can kind of sneak my way onto that team, because I know it's going to be exciting out there in Wisconsin, and I know Whistling Straits is a bear, and I just think it'd be a really amazing experience.
Talking with Max Homa on the tee, 94.5 ESPN. Have you ever played golf in Wisconsin, Max? Have you found a way to somehow get here?
I played at Erin Hills for the U.S. Amateur a while ago. It was awesome. Big golf course, really cool property.
I'm tired. I was out there earlier today, Max. It's a big property. I am tired from walking that earlier today. I don't know how you do a USAM where you're playing multiple rounds of golf in a single day in that ballpark.
Yeah, well, back then I was like 20, 21 years old, so I was a little bit more, you know, I was a little more impervious to fatigue, but it's getting tougher as I get older. But, you know, when you're playing a course that cool, you kind of, you focus on what you're doing for so long, and once you're done, you realize just how long the walk was.
That's awesome. Is there any other place, you know, we kind of call ourselves the unofficial golf capital of the world now, Max? I feel like you could just make a call and get out to Sand Valley or Lac La Belle right now. Do you have any plans in your offseason? Do you even play golf in your offseason for fun anymore?
Well, I did Bandon Dunes somewhat recently last offseason. I know Sand Valley's the next one kind of in that realm, so I'd love to make a little trip, but I'm really, like we said before, I'm really hoping to make a trip to Wisconsin in about, 2 months. So that's hopefully that'll get that trip knocked out.
Well,
why
don't we make it you can make it like a whole month or something. Now, it seems like your guy is going to be coming back and playing quarterback for the Packers. We got to get you in Wisconsin so you can go to a Packers game as well.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I could do a little Lambeau and Sand Valley golf trip. I'd be okay with that.
How did your friendship with Aaron start?
You know, he obviously is a Cal Bear. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan before I had really known him. But he was just always been really cool to me. Loves golf. He's a golf junkie. Loves playing it. Loves following it. And he took me to dinner a bunch of nights in a row at the BMW Charity Pro-Am on the, at the time, web.com tour. And we hit it off and been keeping in touch. And, you know, he's just he's a really great guy. You know, he's a smart dude. He's an unbelievable athlete, but he's a good friend. And it's cool to be able to talk to somebody about, you know, he gets the life of, you know, our little traveling circus we have. So he's a great guy to talk about sports, but he's also mostly, we talk about just normal stuff. And he's always just kind of been somebody I look up to. And it's been great getting to kind of build a friendship and get to root him on and watch him just do what he always seems to do.
Max, how involved were you with the preparation for the match that he played in a couple weeks ago?
You know, not a ton. He wasn't in, like he told me, the best golfing shape in the sense that he didn't, you know, have a ton of practice before, but he showed out really well. That's, you know, that's what the best athletes do. The lights get go on, and he you know showed what the world he's made of. Walking in a bunch of putts. I did not teach him that one at all. But yeah, no, he did great. I didn't have a whole lot of say in the matter. Hopefully, we can team up in one of those one of these days. Then I'm sure I'll be a little bit more involved.
Well, you guys have teamed up with the AT&T that happens every winter. And I know they don't show every one of his shots and because they got a lot of different celebrities to show at that point. It seemed like he played really well. Has he ever played that well when he's paired up with you at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am?
He played well with me. You know, he drives the ball really, really well.
Yes.
He really honestly does. He hits it pretty darn far. He's obviously a big guy. He hits it far. He hits his hard cut. So he played a couple really good days with me. We made the cut. I think it was his first time making the cut in that thing this past year. So he was stoked. But, yeah, no, he's a good golfer. It's tough at the AT&T because it's, like, right after the season, so he doesn't have a ton of practice. But he's got the hands. He's got the game. And, like you saw in the match, when those cameras come on and he's got the eight-footer, that seems to be when he makes it. So maybe I need to follow him around with a camera next time we play at Pebble and see if that sparks something with the flat stick.
Talking with Max Homa, this is on the tee, 94.5 ESPN. Max, your career has seen plenty of ups and downs. Obviously, had a huge up this past February when you won the Genesis. By winning that tournament, do you feel like you've kind of pushed your career to another level, winning that tournament that has the elevated level status, winning a tournament in your own backyard?
Yeah, for sure. You know, a win's a win anywhere. They, you know, they all feel like they count as the same, but there's definitely some maybe extra boost I get by winning an elevated event. Obviously, Tiger Woods is the host, so it feels even bigger. It's clearly the biggest thing I've done in my professional career, or my golf career in general. So it's definitely a big boost. I think before the, you know, I won that one, I definitely felt like I belonged a bit more physically, you know, where my game was at. But getting to put that on the resume, you know, wake up every morning knowing that that's something that I've accomplished, that definitely gives me a huge boost going forward. Makes me feel, you know, like I can keep kind of building my way up, play a bit better in the majors and contend, because it does feel like, as far as tour events go, that's, you know, one of the bigger ones. So, you know, big confidence builder, and something I try to, you know, harken back on as much as I can, more mentally than physically, just to remind myself that, you know, if you can win that one, you should be able to win just about any of them.
Yeah, I mean, how big is that kind of mental aspect, the feeling of, hey, I actually do belong here?
Yeah, it's tough, you know. I did a really poor job of it when I turned pro at first, and in the last 3 years or so, I feel like turned that corner and got the experience to understand that you can't be looking around and judging yourself too much off of what all the people you've watched on TV your whole life. You got to go out there and be your own golfer, and you know, if you made it out to PGA Tour, you're pretty darn good, and you got to remind yourself of that, you know, sometimes, just because it's obviously very competitive. It's the best golfers in the world. It can be a grind at points, and you got to always believe in yourself. But, you know, that's a part of the learning curve for some. Some people, like a Colin Morikawa, that didn't seem to be a tough battle.
No, he's unreal.
I think most of us, you got to get used to that thought that you're one of the best players in the whole world, and you're going to go toe-to-toe with, you know, Dustin Johnson, and just because it's Dustin Johnson, you've watched him forever, doesn't mean, you know, you kind of can't go out there and do your thing.
Max, you know, the off-the-course storyline this season has been Bryson versus Brooks. How much does the rest of the field on the tour talk about what's going on, you know, when you're not in front of a mic?
I mean, a little bit, but it's, you know, it's nothing serious. It's, you know, it's kind of, it's fun, entertainment. You know, we'll chat, I guess, when the, you know, they make, you know, some sort of video. I think, you know, we're at the Memorial. I think that's when Brooks posted the his little video about the Brooksy stuff. So that always makes us laugh. So, yeah, I guess people talk about it a bit. It's definitely funny for us. And you know, I think for golf in general, too, for professional golf, I think it's kind of been a cool thing to have other people and other sports kind of talk about, because it's obviously, I don't really know the whole story behind the thing, but it seems like they're having some fun with it. So, you know, it's all good by us. But, yeah, we'll talk about it here and there, especially when they're, you know, they have a little whatever you want to call it, spat on the Internet or something.
Max, I just want to say thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. You know, your story is a great one. I know you've got a lot of fans all over the place, and you got a lot of people here in the state of Wisconsin rooting that you do go on that heater, and we see you at the end of September.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. I'll catch you guys in like 2-ish months out of Whistling Straits.
I love Perfect. The confidence. See you, Max.
See y'all.
And we're going to have to get behind that heater, Gabe. I mean, I hope he says that when he makes his next PGA Tour media availability. Like, hey, I'm probably going to go on this heater. I got to go to Packers Lions the Monday before the Ryder Cup anyways. You know, big Monday Night Football guy. But, I mean, awesome by Max there. He is just – I feel like he is the fan favorite right now outside of the top eight guys that are Americans in the world.
I mean, he's really – I mean, he made himself available via social media when he did the Roast My Swing thing and, you know, people – the amateurs putting their swings up there and
That's
he had a lot of fun.
That's the best thing he does.
It is hilarious. I mean, he's been – he's shown how you can like put yourself out there through social media. And when he was really struggling in 2017, he once tweeted, "Had a few caddies hit me up recently, hoping to team up. They heard they usually get weekends off, which is apparently a great selling point." Like, he's willing to make fun of himself, and he's done some great interviews and some great videos with the No Laying Up crew. If you followed them, you know, a great podcast and social media wise at No Laying Up on Twitter. Where he really, and is very open about all the struggles that he's had mentally, physically. I'm rooting for him, mostly because he's also a huge Tiger Woods nerd and just a huge Tiger Woods fan. Like, he was freaking out when he won the Genesis earlier this year and Tiger Woods gave him the trophy. Like, that was the coolest thing ever for him. So I'm hoping he goes on that heater. I'm rooting for him in a couple of weeks at the WGC in Memphis that he can win a big tournament, get some money, get some points, and make himself a consideration for the Ryder Cup team.
And he's a huge Aaron Rodgers fan at the end of the day. That's something everyone can connect to, but he really is the everyman in golf. He's the person I feel like you could bell you up next to at a bar, have no idea that he's a PGA Tour player, and all of a sudden, you're like, oh, that's Max Homa right there. Can you analyze my swing real quick? I just shot 105 at Brown Deer.
I'm sure he'll gladly roast your swing. But speaking of the Ryder Cup, those dates in terms of when the top six are going to be locked in, when the other six players have to be selected by Steve Stricker and Team USA, those dates are coming. We're going to let you know what those dates are, what those standings look like. That's all coming up next on the tee.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's more On the Tee with Gabe and Steven coming up on 94.5 ESPN. Watson on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Annex Wealth Management and Fairways of Woodside.
Special thanks to X-Golf America for helping us out, getting Max Homa on the show. Again, if you want to check out X-Golf locally, Brookfield Mech 1, X-Golf, Brookfield.com, X-Golf, Mech 1.com. Full disclosure, Sean and Luke, who are the owners, and this is probably going to get thrown back at me that I'm admitting this on the radio. The owners of the X-Golf locally are friends of mine.
And they're friends of mine. And I'll say it, I love those dudes. They save our lives in the winter game.
Oh, yeah.
And not even the winter, the spring, the fall. It's a great place to go in the summer, too.
Work on your game, yeah.
I prefer to go there than a driving range right now because it's
controlled. You get numbers.
Yeah. You just feel good.
Plus, you want to grind on a driving range today? My car said, when I was driving back from Erin Hills, my car's telling me it's 96 degrees outside. Go get a cold one. Be in the AC in the comfort of X-Golf.
Yeah, it's an unreal place, and they're blown up across the country.
I think Erin Hills might have been the only place I'd have been cool playing with today.
No way. Like, you don't think if Milwaukee Country Club called you up today and they're like, hey, Gabe, we have a
first of all, it's a Monday, and country clubs aren't open on Monday.
You don't think you could get out with the grounds crew?
I mean, look, would I? Of course I would.
Yes, I know.
I mean, if
you're
somebody,
that type of guy.
Well,
it's not a bad thing. It's not
Nolan,
a knock on you.
Nolan, this was all hyperbole. If you'd have called me today at noon saying, hey, let's play nine holes at Brown Deer before the show. I would have been there.
Yeah.
Of course I would have been. I'm trying to be hyperbolic for our guys over at X-Golf.
I love it. We love Sean and Luke. Also, xgolfsimulator.com. They're blowing up with franchises across the country. But, you know, we love Mech 1. Brookfield, I feel like, is our home base in the winter.
Thursday night,
three-man, nine-hole
league.
Shout out
to Mike, yeah. Shout out to Mike Meisen, the pro and GM over there. Great dude.
How many Bucks games did we watch there this year?
Oh, plenty.
I mean,
so many, because it's again, you're playing golf. It's on a Thursday night. Bucks were featured a lot of Thursday nights this year. Let's go ahead and get into some fantasy golf talk, but this time it's surrounding the Ryder Cup.
Who's in the red?
Give me another ball.
Take the drop, Roy.
Roy, just...
Give me another ball.
Who's in the green?
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
This is where we recap the weekend in fantasy golf and prepare you for the next tournament. Brought to you by New Male Medical Center. Guys struggling with low testosterone, ED, and weight loss have had success at New Male. You can too. Schedule your consultation at newmale.com and discover the new you.
So some important dates, Nolan, that are coming up in the Ryder Cup in terms of when the top six get locked in and then the next six have to be selected. What are those dates?
So the top six, the automatic qualifiers, they will be locked in after the BMW Championship, which is the second stop on the FedEx Cup playoffs. And then the captain picks will come from Steve Stricker the next week following the Tour Championship. So that puts you in that Labor Day timeline right there.
It seems like the top eight are kind of locks. Colin Morikawa won, yep. DJ, yep. Bryson, yeah. I mean, these guys are top six, so they're automatically in. Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele. So I guess there's a chance that Xander falls off. But if he does, he's still going to be going there because guess who's number seven? Jordan Spieth. He's going to be on the team. Patrick Reed is going to be on the team. So that kind of just leaves four players right now who could still be out there. Who do you see as one of those four players or a couple of those four that could round out this team at the end of September at Whistling Straits?
I think that Daniel Berger and Tony Finau are not locks, but they could probably start looking at private airfare to Whistling Straits. The other two spots, I think, is where it gets really tricky. Right now, Harris English is 9, Patrick Cantlay is 10. Patrick Cantlay obviously getting a huge boost because John Rahm had COVID, dropped out of the Memorial. He gets that big win there. Harris English, a winner this year as well. He's played a lot of good golf on Sundays. They just don't feel like Ryder Cup guys to me, those two right there.
I'm really scared that Phil... And it's not even a scare, it's not even a fear because this is happening. Phil Mickelson's going to be on this team and he shouldn't be.
I disagree. I know you're going to bring up Phil's bad record in the Ryder Cup.
It's awful.
He did something that is one of the sports stories of the year this year.
And I'm not taking away. I enjoyed the PGA. I love the PGA. The PGA was awesome. And I think it might have been the actual first time I was rooting for Phil because I'm a Tiger guy. And now, you know, they've kind of become cool. And Phil winning at 51 was an awesome story. But it was 1 week in May. That's all it was. It was a special week. But that 1 week in May doesn't mean he should be playing on a Ryder Cup team in September.
So here's my case for Phil. You got Bryson DeChambeau. You got Brooks Koepka. That's a lot of personality right there. Somebody needs to be in the locker room that has a big enough ego to get in between of them. And you got Patrick Reed. He is just a wild card at all times. He could steal both Bryson and Brooks's clubs. Like, he could literally go off the wall. So you need
to... I don't know if I respect or hate or both Patrick Reed for at the last Ryder Cup shooting over an 80. Shot an 80 in the four ball, which is the you play your own ball and you take the better score with Tiger. He shot over an 80
nervous
with Tiger.
Nervous.
And after the round said, Tiger apologized to him. Like, the stones on this dude to just throw up all over his shorts in the Ryder Cup in France and then to blame the greatest golfer of all time.
So, Phil, though, you need an elder statesman there. You need that big brother. He's the one that can show, you know, what it's like to be in the biggest stage in the world. He can cool off the locker room. Because as much as we love Steve Stricker, he's not Phil Mickelson in terms of these guys looking up to an icon in the golf game of golf. And, I mean, I would love to have Tiger Woods there one day getting, you know, drove around on a golf cart. I just don't see it. If it happens,
great.
I mean, Sheboygan is going to shake. Like,
yes.
You're going to see it on the map from Google Maps, like, shaking because of the roars.
If Tiger is on that first tee, obviously not playing, but just in a cart, you know, air cast, whatever he needs, earpiece in, because assistant captain Tiger's got to have the earpiece. They're just going to go, Tiger, Tiger. They're just going to be rooting for Tiger. They're going to be chanting Tiger on that first tee. Like, that would be electric.
So, Phil Mickelson, I want him on the team like I want Ryan Braun on this Brewers team at some point this year. Kind of just that elder statesman.
But can't he serve that as an assistant captain? I don't need him playing.
But he
can hit
some good golf shots still. I mean,
He did it in May.
He's been awful since then.
I don't know if he's hit a good shot since then.
All right.
I really don't know.
You are nuts if you're rather going to trust Harris English over Phil Mickelson when it's all on the line.
At least the dude's hitting good golf shots in the last 2 months.
He's the ultimate money game match play guy. I mean, I know the record doesn't show it, but you know how much money Phil's probably had in the line in his life down in Arizona in a match play game against two guys that are, you know, amateurs?
You know, I like Scottie Scheffler.
I love Scottie Scheffler.
So the guy who's ahead of Phil in the standings right now at number 16, I kind of like Billy Horschel.
He just seems like a breakdown waiting to happen. How many times have you seen Billy Ho melt down on a Sunday?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you just put him in the middle of the pack in the singles. I think you can hide him.
After Phil, though, it started here on the tee.
Max
ESPN
Homa.
Milwaukee, Max Homa, get on a heater.
Let's go, buddy.
If he says that in Memphis, I am going to text you right away. We're going to pull that audio, and it's just going to start circulating around the internet.
I mean, if Max Homa wins a tournament here in the next couple weeks and has a really good showing, he's going to be in consideration. If he wins a tournament and then has a good showing in the FedEx Cup playoffs, you're going to have to consider him. He's not going to get in the top six. He's not going to be able to accumulate enough points. But if he does, if you want somebody playing really good golf right now, and if he becomes one of the hottest players out there, he has to be considered. Plus, the dude is just, he's a really good iron player. Just stripes it with his irons.
And I think the Packers go to San Francisco that weekend, so maybe you get a little Rodgers on a Thursday carrying the bag. Maybe somehow he gets a little microphone, little earpiece, not a microphone. I mean, it could be electric week. And you know some of the Packers are going to try to get out there for at least
a day on
an off day, maybe a practice round. We get Bakhtiari chugging beers on the Kohler property. I mean, that is going to happen.
Oh, that would be fantastic. So the Olympics are this week. We talked a little bit about the Olympics. Do you have an Olympic pick? We do have to make one call. That's all brought to us by Gruber Law Offices. Do you have an Olympic winner?
I'm going to pick Patrick Reed. I think he gets a lot of hate. I actually kind of respect Patrick Reed. I mean, he has his own corner.
You respect his cheating?
I respect him just being hated. He's a villain. Like, he wears the villain cape very well.
But does he know he's hated?
Oh, he has to. You don't think Patrick Reed knows that he gets booed all the time?
Do you think... But he doesn't think it's justified.
Okay. Have you ever cheated in the golf course, Gabe?
Yeah.
So, I think every golfer, even on the tour, has cheated. He just happened to get caught on TV. Now, I'm not justifying. He probably cheats all the time.
So, but here's the thing. Like, if I'm playing a golf tournament, if I'm playing an actual tournament, like, I'm playing by the rules that are in front of me. Like, I was playing today. I played out at Erin Hills, played with Brian D., one of our salespeople here, partner from Prevea, and I hit one, and I asked my caddy, hey, is that out of bounds? And he said, yes, so I hit another ball. Well, it was a red stake, so it wasn't. And Shane's like, well, why'd you do that? I'm like, well, if it was a white stake, I would have to re-tee. That's the rule. But it was a red stake, so I didn't have to. And it's just, when I can, I want to. I mean, every once in a while, am I going to fluff up a lie if I'm just playing? Yeah, but if I'm playing in a state am qualifier, if I'm playing in one of our majors that we have as part of the Brown Deer Men's Club, no, I'm going to play by the rules of golf. And he's playing in the biggest tournaments. And the part that just bugs me about Patrick Reed is he doesn't need to do it.
But there's some manipulation of the rules, Gabe.
He's really damn good.
He is really good. There is some manipulation of the rules that goes on. I mean, Bryson does this all the time, where he knows kind of where to hit it out, and he can get a free drop.
100%.
I mean, there is some manipulation going on right now in the tour. So is Patrick Reed a cheater? Yes. Does he get a little too much heat sometimes? I would agree. Who is your pick?
I'm going to go Siwoo Kim.
Siwoo
Kim. Now, this, while we talked about how it was not important to American golfers, the Olympics are very much important to the South Koreans.
Oh my
gosh.
And
I think that this means so much to him. Hopefully he doesn't break his putter, so he's, you know, putting with a 5-wood or 3-wood or whatever he did when he was 3 shots off the lead at Augusta this year.
And had to use Pat Perez's putter.
It's just outrageous. But I've got Siwoo Kim. I'm going to take Siwoo Kim as my one call. That's all. I keep talking about Erin Hills. We'll break it down a little bit as we review a golf course brought to us by our friends at Waste Management coming up next. But first, it's time for this week's Cart Girl Moment of the Week.
And now, it's time for another Cart Girl Moment, presented by Fairways of Woodside.
Sir, as I told you last time, I'm not selling short games in this cart. Just alcohol. In fact, I'm not selling any sort of golf game. If you actually want to get better, you're gonna need to spend time on the putting green with the pro instead of taking a drink every time you miss a putt, which is probably why I see you so often.
This has been another Cart Girl Moment, presented by Fairways of Woodside, home of the premium golf experience. Premium golf, service, and of course, the best golf carts with GPS and Bluetooth speakers. Fairways of Woodside.
Forget about changing that dial. More On the Tee with Gabe and Steven next on 94.5 ESPN.
Here. Twice a year, or even every year. I've been fortunate enough, I've been able to get out there a number of different times. I just absolutely love the feel that I get. The feeling when I go out to Erin Hills, I know they're going to take care of me. I know my caddy is going to be great, like he was today. It was a little hot today, but it didn't matter. I mean, we had a little bit of a breeze. It's just one of those courses that, to me, like if you are a lower handicap like me, I can go back a couple tees if I want, try to challenge myself, but, and I don't want to sound like I'm disparaging you, Nolan.
You're going to.
Yeah, but.
I have played Erin Hills before and had a great time.
Oh, but because in I took my parents out there last year. My parents don't play a ton of golf. My parents like golf because, I mean, my mom played high school golf, but they haven't golfed at all this year because I haven't had time to go play golf with them. I took them to Erin Hills last year. They loved it. They don't play a ton of golf because the fairways are wide enough that you're still, you know, you can kind of just plot your ball around. Now, once you get up to the greens, it's going to get a little tricky. But I think anybody, if you're low handicap, high handicap, everybody can have fun and absolutely love what they have to offer at Erin Hills.
And what I tell people, you know, make the investment, because if you are a golf fan, if you like golf, make it part of once a year. If you live in the Midwest, if you live in the Milwaukee area, if you live in Wisconsin, just do it once a year because it's going to be the best round you have all year. Memorable, bring a family member. You know, that's what Erin Hills wants to hear. You bringing your parents there, because that's a memory you always remember. I mean, the cottage is there, the Drumlin putting course, the barn. I mean, it really is like this crown jewel we have in Wisconsin. And I hope they get a PGA Tour tournament again. I really do.
Yeah, I was having this discussion with the group today. I'm approaching the Ryder Cup. I'm so excited for it. But I'm also, I don't know when that tour is going to be back. And I'm so glad that Aaron Hills has this relationship with the USGA, because I'm insane and I'll go out there for the mid-am next year. I'm not going to be able to tell you anybody on that mid-am, because mid-am you have to be 25 years of age or older. Like, these are guys that have pretty much decided, and you have to be an amateur, you're not going to be playing professional golf. But I'm still going to go out there and watch it. I'm really excited to see what the women do in 2025 with the U.S. Women's Open out at Erin Hills. I hope they get another crack at a U.S. Open on the men's side, because it was, look, they just got a tough break.
It wasn't ideal. It's not how they planned it. But, I mean, look at the BMW. That move has moved around a lot now. It has been connected to the Western Am for so many years out of Illinois. That is where I have, you know, I don't know anything. That is where I have my eyes set on making another return to, you know, high-end professional golf. But even Marquette, they host that tournament in the fall. I've been there when that's getting set up. I mean, think about watching high-end college golf with schools not just in the Big Ten or the Midwest, you know, USF flying in. This is a marquee golf round, golf trip across the country right in our backyard.
And they are so generous with that, with their time with that golf tournament. They do one at the beginning of every year with the Mac Fund and high school kids. So not only are they great because they're there, but they also want to give back to the community. It just seems they have, even though they're in the middle of nowhere, shout out to Hartford, which is not that far from Horicon, Wisconsin. Even though it's in the middle of nowhere, it still wants to connect to the community in and around the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you said it, first-class service. You know, shout out to our guy Steve Pease. Everybody at Erin Hills takes care of you because they want you to continue to come back. They want you to spread the word. So a great golf course to highlight.
Spain and Fitz is coming up next. Thanks, buddy, for filling in.
Anytime. It was good to putt around a little bit with you.
Nolan Murphy making bad puns on his way out the door. As he is our cousin of the day for Stephen Watson, this has been On the Tee.
Hi, I'm David Gruber. When you've been seriously injured, you need the best team of professionals